Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it's good to see everybody here this morning.
It's good to be here.
Good to be anywhere. Oh, well, there's not a great deal in the way of announcements this morning. There was one thing I was trying to remember that I didn't write down. Business meeting next Monday night, week from tomorrow. First Monday of the month, of course, at 7 o'clock. Other than that, they say no news is good news, and boy, have we got good news for you this morning. The only announcement we have to make is that there are no other announcements. Talk much? Are there any birthdays this week? No birthdays. Anniversaries? No anniversaries. Okay, then let's take a quick look at the prayer list. Is there anyone who needs to be added to or removed from the prayer list this morning? Sheila?
The one I mentioned last week, I need to get last name now, is Jordan King.
King?
Yeah, he's the one that had colon cancer. He did have surgery Thursday. They were just planning on doing colostomy, but they ended up actually removing the entire tumor.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not for sure now whether he'll have to go through the chemo radiation.
So he did. Okay, that's Jordan King. Polly? Okay, Bernice Williams. Mitch?
I give an update on Fred and Kathy.
Okay.
Kathy Robbins is at the Burn Center up in Indy, Eskenazi Hospital. She's not allowed to have visitors, and her battery is dead in her phone. She lost her charger, so you won't be able to get a hold of her. But she had skin grafting done day before yesterday. It went well. She's recovering. They're going to move her to a rehab that's close up there so that they don't have to drive back and forth. So she asked me to let everybody know she appreciates the cards, the prayers, and the thoughts and the calls that she wasn't able to always take. Mary Chris called me last night. Fred's doing well in recovery. Soon be going to rehab. He does have an upcoming minor surgery to replace the pacemaker that he's currently got, so still keep him in your prayers. She said that Fred would love to have cards if you just send them to their P.O. Box 86. She'll make sure that he gets them. So that's that.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, then, let's continue to praise the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Turn to number 35. We will glorify the King of Kings.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Amen. And number 171, something we should always do, take time to be holy.
Amen.
Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always. God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His presence to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let Him be your guide, and run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in His word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath His control.
Brother Mitch, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Sure. Our Father and God, we are so grateful that we can be here in Your house this morning, and most especially because You are here in our midst. Your word's very clear. Where two or more gathered together in My name, there I am in Your midst. Thank You, Lord. Nowhere that we go will we ever be out of Your presence. You promised that You would never leave us and never forsake us. You are a merciful, great, and loving God. And we thank You so much. Lord, we ask this morning for ears that hear, eyes that see, and hearts and minds that understand and receive Your truth and are changed for Your glory. In Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. As we prepare our minds and hearts for the communion service this morning, let's turn to number 260. Come, share the Lord.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Finding our forgiveness.
as here. We in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the load. We are now a family of which the Lord is head. Finding seen, he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
Now we'll ask Brother Wayne Morris to bring our communion meditation.
Good morning. Before Jesus ascended, he had said, "Behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." This is in Matthew 28:20. We sometimes wish that we were able to see the Lord Jesus in the days of his flesh, to walk with him through the fields and to hear him teach. Yes. It is possible for Jesus to be with us, his people, in a very real sense. While in the flesh, he was, as it were, the prisoner of an hour and a place. Only when he was no longer present as a man among men and women could his presence be manifested to all people in every place throughout the power of the Holy Spirit. That was the reason Jesus said that it was expedient for him to go away in John 16:7. Now as we open our hearts to him, he will come and live in us. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The Lord's Supper is effective. It does something. This is curious language to most of us. We understand how we do something. We take the bread and break it, in the cup and drink it, but we may not see how God does anything. We do not come to the table to simply learn something with our minds. We come to meet God.
Amen.
God does something. He communes with his people.
Yes.
God and his people meet here and something happens. Amen. The weight of his presence is sensed because of the joy of forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
He is here. He is with us. Break the bread of life today and rejoice.
Yes.
God is doing something in our midst as we celebrate. Here we touch eternity. Here God gives us love, forgiveness, acceptance, and we receive God. God acted in the Old Testament, and the result at times was a Red Sea parting, fire consuming, a burning bush, fire coming down from heaven consuming a sacrifice. He also had a pillar of his glory that would move. Whenever God acts, whether then or now, we are in awe and we adore. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus acts.
Amen.
He eats with us. We are like he is like David the king.
Amen.
We deserve to be put to death, but he bids us come and eat and drink. God is dining with us. We are also doing something. We are meeting God here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and all the blessings of life you continue to give us. We ask you to be with us this morning as we participate of the supper. We ask your blessings on the bread, which represents your body, and the juice, which represents the blood that you shed for us. Be with us that we may take with the rightful mind. This be our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
As Jesus and his disciples were gathered in the upper room for the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and passed it among them and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat ye of it." And likewise the cup after they had eaten. Jesus took it and blessed it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for the remission of sins. Drink of it, all of you." Amen. You know, a lot of things we don't understand in this world, and we certainly don't understand what's coming in the next one. But we will.
Amen.
We'll understand it better by and by. Let's turn to number 493 and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to the blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye. We'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Oft our cherished plans have failed, disappointments have prevailed, and we've wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. We're trusting in the Lord, and according to his word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, tell the story of how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares. Our hearts are made to bleed for some thoughtless word or deed. We wonder why the test when we try to do our best. But we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by.
Amen.
And even though we don't understand it, why, through it all, we've learned to trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Number 304.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation. Let my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've been to lots of places, And I've seen a lot of faces. There have been times I felt so all alone. And in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was his own. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for he brought me through. If I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God can do. So through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word.
Amen. Amen. Brother Mitch, do you have a special for us this morning?
I do.
Good.
And I hope it is special.
Bill Gates, the rotary, couldn't help.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you, Bob asked me to sing, and a lot of the songs that we just sung, I looked at, but the Holy Spirit guided me here to this specific song. I kept coming back and coming back. I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do this one." It's "I Believe in a Hill Called Mount Calvary." Now, this is a Gaither song, and the first part of it is a reading, and there's not a lot of singing. It can be done either way, but I'm going to read it. And so here we go. There are things as we travel this earth's shifting sands that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hand. I believe that the Christ who was slain on that cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely. A new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I still cling to that old rugged cross.
Tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So it was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world."
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? It's good to see Judy and Rusty made it. There's a green bag with a handle on the back seat back there for you all. All right. Praise the Lord. You know, we have been going through the New Testament now. We went through a lot of the Old Testament. We finished up with Job, and everybody was ready to move on to something else. So we moved back into the New Testament. And now we're here in Matthew chapter 13. We've been going through some of these parables. This is all really one message, one sermon that Jesus is sharing. And the parables, again, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly message. And when we keep that in mind, the context of these two, which are tied together, he starts out both of them with the kingdom of heaven is like. Like means that there is symbolism. It's a simile in these parables. He's not saying that this is the kingdom of heaven is not a mustard seed that's planted and grows to be, you know, 10, 12 feet tall, and the birds rest in it. But it's like that. What does he mean by that? What does he mean? You know, in the Bible, we're told that the mustard seed is the smallest of seeds. Well, some people have come up and said, well, there are seeds that's smaller. Well, I beg to differ, because when you put it in context, that was the smallest seed that they ever planted in their area of the world at that time. Maybe smaller seeds than that now somewhere along the line, but that was the smallest seed they dealt with. And this little bitty mustard seed, I don't know, I'm sure everybody in here at some point in time has seen one. Even at one time, Bernice Williams brought me a little pin that has a mustard seed in it, and it's symbolic of this saying. And, you know, actually, he said in another place, if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. But this little bitty seed. Now, I don't know, most of you in here at some point in time, I'm sure, have grown a garden of some kind. And you take these little bitty seeds, don't matter if it's a flower seed or a vegetable seed, you put it in a little dirt, put a little water in it, and you put it in a little sunlight, and you wait. And something happens. It grows. And some of those little bitty seeds grow into great big things. And when he says, that's what the kingdom of God is like, you think about how the movement of Christianity got started. Here comes Jesus, who is the head of the church. We are the body. He trained 12 apostles, 12 disciples. He only trained those 12. He did miracles while he was here, and he healed. He did good things to a lot of people, which won a lot of people. But he was not the one who actually initiated the church. He passed that responsibility on to those 12. As he was resurrected and as he was ascending back to the Father, he told them to go into the city and wait for the Holy Spirit to come and give them power to start the church, to start this movement, this ministry. And when the Holy Spirit came, there was so much power that people heard a sound like a rushing wind. And when they went to see what was going on, they saw like tongues of fire coming down and lighting on the heads of the apostles, and then they all began to speak in other foreign languages that they did not know. And the reason why they did that was so that every person that was present at that time could hear the gospel message and have it to go into their heart. And they received Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. 3,000 souls were saved that one day. That was the first day, the beginning of the church, the inauguration, folks. That was the time the church began. And so that little bitty seed, Jesus coming, that little bitty seed taught the 12. That became a little bigger. And then they taught many. And now look at the church today. Many come into the church for rest for their souls, to find a cure for their ills, to find peace for their weary way. That's what he's talking about when he says this in this parable, that this little bitty seed, mustard seed, grows into this big tree and the birds come and rest. We are those birds. We come into the church. We come into the body of Christ. We come to Jesus. We come through the cross and through the blood. We are cleansed and we come and we grow as a part of that church. And then not only is that an application, but here's the other application that also is just as apt. And that is, once we share the gospel with somebody, a seed, it may be even as small as a mustard seed, is planted in that person's heart. And at some point it gets watered and it begins to grow and sprout within that life. And that person blooms and blossoms in the work of Jesus Christ. Folks, we have one of the most precious responsibilities and privilege of all people on the planet. We represent the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Creator of all that exists. We get to go out and be His ambassador. We get to speak for Him. He chooses to use you and to use me. You know, God could have led the children of Israel out of Egypt all by himself, but he didn't. He chose a man. He chose Moses. He said, "You go and do this." So he has a mission, a work for every single one of us. We may be that little mustard seed that starts something great big. When the man who led Billy Graham to the Lord did that work of God, I wonder if he thought one day Billy Graham would speak to as many as he did. To become the prophet, the minister of America, the voice of America for Christianity. We all are to be used. And then he goes on, not only talking about this mustard seed, but then he goes on and he talks about the yeast that's in the dough. You know, I have made bread before, and I'm sure many of you ladies in here make bread, make biscuits, make something that requires yeast. Some of you guys probably have too. And you just mix it in, and it doesn't take a lot. But then when you begin to bake it, it begins to grow and grow and grow and spread out and grow. And it's amazing. Just that little bit of yeast, it grows that. And so here, even though in many places in the Bible, yeast represents sin, in this case it does not. In this case, it is representing the kingdom of God. In other words, if we get just a little bit of the kingdom of God into a place, that kingdom begins to grow and spread wide and far. You know, the gospel, I remember as a young, a very young person, wasn't a man then. But I remember they used to, ministers would come to the Baptist church where I was going, and they were evangelists, and they would talk about the gospel spreading like wildfire. Well, that's a pretty apt description, because that's what the gospel is. It's a fire that goes within us. You know, when the two disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus came along and started talking to them, and then he went back to their house and sat down, and when he broke bread, he was revealed to them who he was. But during the time of their walking, he began to tell them all the things from the Old Testament up into the New Testament about himself, and how all of that was fulfilled in him as he died on the cross. And then when he was revealed, he disappeared. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Folks, when we get in touch with God the way that Brother Wayne was talking about in his meditation this morning, when we really come into the presence of God, our hearts burn within us. We feel the presence. We feel the fire of the Holy Spirit. We become fueled by the fire of heaven. Our God is a consuming fire. Do you feel those flames? Do you feel that fire in your heart? Do you have that passion, that burning in you for the souls of the people around you? We are called, even in this parable, to spread the seed, to go out and to share, even if it's just a little bitty mustard seed that's planted into the hearts and minds of the people. We have that special privilege and responsibility to go out and then to put that yeast in there so that it can spread farther and wider. We are the representatives of Jesus Christ here on earth. We are his hands and his feet and his mouth. People are watching you. Many of your neighbors right now are saying, oh my, those people are going to church in the midst of all this COVID. Oh, I'm going to call the police and turn them in. Well, go for it. Have fun. The devil's got you wrapped up tight in fear. You're afraid to get out of your house. You're listening to the wrong voices. My God is able to deliver me, folks. My God is able to deliver me. It doesn't matter what it is. I fear not. I fear not. How many of you have ever heard of Richard Wurmbrand? One. Richard Wurmbrand spent 14 years in prison under communists in Romania. He was beaten on a regular basis. He was abused in such a way that it's unspeakable. I can't even say in public how bad this man was treated. At one point, I think I said this, but I didn't say who it was, but at one point he made a deal with the guards. I'll preach the gospel, you beat me, we're all happy. And that was the way it was, that every person, he was the one that was in that death room for 2 years, had tuberculosis so bad that the doctor said, you're dead. But he wasn't. When he came to America a few years later, the doctors looked at him, examined him, and said, this is not possible. You have holes in your lungs that have healed themselves. You no longer have tuberculosis. That's just not heard of. That's not possible. And then this doctor that was examining him looked at him and said, I can't help you. You need to keep looking to the one who cured you, the one that I don't believe in. That was this doctor's statement. You think a seed was planted there, folks? I do. I think a seed was planted in that doctor's heart, and he began to wonder, wow, maybe there is something to this Christianity. Maybe there is something to this God. Sometimes it takes something so little as just speaking a kind word to someone who's suffering and hurting. Have you ever been walking through a store or through the mall or whatever, out in the public, and you see somebody that just looks so miserable, and it's almost like your focus just goes to that person, and you're like, something's not right here. Folks, that's the Holy Spirit saying, speak a kind word to this person. Go and talk to this person. And if we will tune in and listen to the Holy Spirit, He will put words in our mouth to speak to that person, to comfort them, to help them through whatever their situation is. And it plants a seed. And sometimes we can go so far as to ask them, do you want to put faith in this one that I'm speaking about? Do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Do you want to spend the rest of your life in His love and His peace and His grace and His mercy, worshiping and serving Him? And many times they'll say, yes, I do. I need Him. I need Him. And boy, what a blessing when we get to lead someone to the Lord. That's what this parable is all about, folks. Growing the kingdom of God. You know, the devil does everything he can to try to convince us that we should not share the gospel with other people. Right now, he's saying, oh, you got to stay 6 feet back and wear a mask. You can't talk to other people. You can't touch them. Because they might catch this thing if you have it. And if they have it, you might catch it. Jesus walked up and touched the leper, folks, and cured him. Who are we really listening to? Who are we really following? Something to consider. How are we doing at this call, this command that we have of sharing the gospel, planting those little bitty seeds and watching them grow? How are we doing? If you have a need this morning, just mind the Lord and come as we sing. Brother Bob.
Our invitation hymn this morning is number 371, Reach Out to Jesus. If you have a need, come as we sing. Let's stand. Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road you travel harbor danger yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on His name you call. He is always there, meeting every prayer, faithful and true. Walking by our side, in His love we hide all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. Is the life you're living filled with sorrow and despair? Does the future press you with its worry and its care? Tired and friendless, have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you, just come to Him today. He is always there, hearing faithful and true. Walking by our side, in His love we hide all the day. Remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. Amen.
Don't forget, next week we'll be celebrating the 4th of July, Independence Day.
Amen.
Anything else we need to think of this morning, Brother Mitch?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
48 years.
You put up with him that long?
Yeah.
Oh, what a girl. What a girl.
Penny and Marvin's not feeling very good this morning. I think they have a stomach flu.
Oh, did he? Oh, my. Well,
okay, thanks. I didn't know.
Special prayers for Penny and Marvin then. Let's see. I believe they're already they're already on the list. Pray for him anyhow.
Yeah.
If there's nothing else, then Brother Mitch, would you dismiss us, please?
I can do that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your presence here this morning. Thank you for working in our hearts and our minds. Thank you for drawing us closer. And Lord, as we leave here, let that feeling not fade, but let us continue to worship you every moment of every day. Singing hymns, calling out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless us this week as we go and spread your word and grow your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as he traveled this sod. For I'm part of the family of God.
Have a blessed day. We'll see you next week.